Ecclesiastes, a book of wisdom, a very interesting book of wisdom. Many scholars have found Hellenistic influences in this book. A book that asks very cutting and very uncomfortable questions. What is this world all about? Vanity of vanities, everything is vanity. And so what is the meaning of the world? Is really one of the great forerunners of Jewish philosophy in many ways. And the last book is the book of Ruth. A very touching book that tells the story of the process of conversion of a Moabite, non-Jewish woman, her conversion to Judaism, and ultimately setting the stage for the advent of the Davidic monarchy, because Ruth, a Gentile woman, would be the ancestor of King David, and of course, by extension, the ancestor of the Messiah as well. Among the other books of this section, this third section, the book of Job, clearly asking a major theological question, right? Why is the role of the just so miserable in this world, or sometimes? A book known as Proverbs, the book of Daniel, one of the last books, the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, that talks about this return of the captives from Babylonia to Judea, and the very, very first stirrings of restoration and the Second Temple period. And that's where the Bible ends. Jews, however, continued to produce books throughout that second stage of Jewish history, which we would refer to as the Second Temple period. Many of these books, I would almost say almost all of them, not quite all, but many are expansions, elaborations of the Bible. We must constantly remember everything flows out of the Bible. If you're going to sit down in the post-biblical period and write a book, you can justify writing that book by what? By maintaining that this is really an extension of the Bible. Some of these books dealt with the events of their day, however. For instance, a book that we referred to in an earlier lecture, the books of Maccabees, that talk about clashes between Hellenistic rulers in Judea and the Jews. Almost all the books that were produced in the final centuries BCE and the first century CE, however, did not become canonized in the Jewish canon. And as a result, were basically lost to Judaism and would have gone totally lost had they not been preserved by the Christian church. And this is true, in particular, for the writings of the renowned Jewish historian of the Second Temple period, Josephus, known as Josephus Flavius. It's also true of the Jewish philosopher Philo of Alexandria. Their works were not preserved. Not only were they not preserved as part of the Jewish canon, they were not preserved by the Jewish community. The church preserved them, and in each case for a different reason. For instance, Josephus was preserved because he describes the first century in Roman Judea. And so much of Josephus's writings are a background to Christianity. He talks about Pontius Pilate. He mentions Jesus himself. He knows about James, the brother of Jesus. And so the church would clearly want to preserve this material. But this literature otherwise was lost to the Jewish community, and it was never part, for instance, of the Jewish curriculum. Jews did not study the book of Josephus. They did not study the books of Philo until modernity. After the Bible, the second major corpus of Jewish literature was produced by the formulators of what we refer to as rabbinic Judaism. That is to say, those sages, rabbis, who in the post-temple period tried to resuscitate a Judaism that could live without a temple. And their corpus attained a sanctity within the Jewish canon that is not much less than the Bible itself. And the two are actually considered alongside one another. The Bible is referred to very often as the written Torah, and the works of the rabbis as the oral Torah, because their works were in fact preserved in an oral manner for many hundreds of years. The rabbinic corpus contains two major literary genres. One continues to follow the Bible, and here again we note the centrality of the biblical text.